Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Delighted to have an opportunity this hour to get to talk with one of those young content creators that we've been talking to. Edgar is our contact man most of the time. He tells us who's doing great things on the internet. And one of the things about it's what we might call the new apologetics movement is, you know, it started with people printing things off on mimeograph in the 1970s and 80s and grew into books and magazines and radio programs like this radio program in the 90s. And now that movement is being decentralized and fortified, and it's a really exciting movement of people using all the new means of communications. There's probably people doing apologetics by drone, by robot, I don't know, by self-driving car. I don't know about that. But what we see is people on the old, it's really old now, Facebook those kinds of things. But then the newer, the YouTube and outlets and that kind of thing. And then the really new stuff like the Twitters and the TikToks and the probably other ones I don't even know about. But I'll just go with TikTok. I'll try to be as up to date as I can. And it just happens that our guest this hour is very popular on TikTok, 84,000 subscribers. That means hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people have viewed her material. It's at Catholic Converts on TikTok. Emily Torres, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Cy.
Future colleague, Emily Torres.
Yes, yeah. That's true.
You're going to come work with us here and help us on our Society 315.
Yes, that's correct.
But that's a few months away.
Yep.
So I guess I should just ask you this. When you come here, will you continue with your Catholic Converts TikTok?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I will.
All right. So let's get into what it is. I guess I should maybe start with, what do you do there? What kind of things do you cover on Catholic Converts? What's the work you've undertaken there?
Yes. So I started the page trying to explain the faith and answer questions for Protestants and just talk about my own conversion journey because I'm a convert. And so a lot of my content is directed towards Protestants, just kind of addressing questions like, why do Catholics pray to the saints? Why do Catholics confess their sins to a priest? Just kind of unpacking these sort of, basic questions for you and I, but a lot of people, from what I've kind of experienced online, just don't understand our faith, which I'm sure you realize, of course. Just trying to explain it to them, but also kind of responding to videos in general that are just sort of anti-Christian. So videos that kind of are supporting abortion or euthanasia or other types of, things that all Christians, for the most part, would be against, responding to those videos as well.
Wow, that is really something. So 84,000 subscribers. Do you have any a sense of who it is you're reaching? Are there statistics, for example, on there? Like, I'm reaching mostly people in their 20s or in their 50s, or does it not work that way?
Yeah, no, there definitely is a breakdown. I couldn't tell you the exact numbers. I know primarily my audience is in America, but I'm reaching people all across the world.
Very good.
I think it's pretty split male and female, my audience, and I'm not quite sure on the age breakdown for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, we'll get into your conversion story then, because that's an important and interesting thing. Because you're young. You're. I think it's fantastic that at your age you've developed this, but we'll just say you're under 30 or under 25.
Yeah.
Under 24.
Yeah.
Under 23.
Well, yeah.
We don't want to get into the
above 21, though.
Above 21, but we don't need to get into the specifics of your age. But this is not your living. This is not how you make your living.
Correct.
This is something that you do for the love of the faith.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. So how do you make a living?
Great question. I am a teacher at Charlotte Catholic High School in North Carolina. I teach philosophy to a bunch of ninth graders.
And do they like philosophy?
No. Well, they would honestly probably say no. But that's just because we do a lot of reading in my class and they don't like to read. But you know, I've had a lot of positive feedback from students. I think they're interested in some of these, you know, controversial questions that maybe don't get talked about enough, whether it's at home or, whatever it is, like, you know, abortion and, contraceptives and, you know, these loaded questions. So I think they enjoy like having a class where we can kind of delve into these issues. So I would say, content-wise, they can enjoy it, but the workload, they might not enjoy.
I have to be somewhat sympathetic to these ninth graders today, is that, like, when I was a kid, 1 million years ago, like, you went to the library and you got books, and that, because that's what entertained you. Like, there was either what they were showing that day on TV, you had no choice about that, there wasn't even DVRs or anything like that, or you read a book. So, like, reading books was an easier thing to do. I mean, now you can consume content constantly on your phone that's somewhat instant.
Yep.
And so the kind of the practice, the mental practice of reading, I think it must be really hard for them.
Yeah. And I mean, they're coming from the generation where COVID affected them during elementary, you know, school age. And so they had a struggle with that. But yeah, I mean, in the digital age where you can have ChatGPT type out your papers for you and you can have everything kind of summarized to you with just the click of a button.
Right.
You know, I think it's harder to have a longer attention span to actually do your own research and reading because, you know, you can get it so quickly nowadays.
So let me just ask you about social media then, because you're choosing to do this on social media. Do you have mixed feelings about social media? Or, I mean, you're a philosophy teacher. You want these young people reading. You're trying to get them reading. So tell me about your feelings about social media in general as a medium, but as media.
Yeah. So mixed feelings, of course. Like, I personally, I mean, I'll be honest, of course, I get sucked into social media, like scrolling and reels and TikToks and whatever. But, you know, I definitely see like an improvement in my overall mood when I'm off, you know, line. I try to just like stick to focusing on, you know, searching for content that I can respond to. So that requires me to scroll. But then other than that, like just making my posts, doing my live streams, and then, you know, trying to limit it. But I think obviously there's a lot of good that can come from social media. There's some, you know, bigger like news page that posted this article recently about how there's been a huge increase in Catholic converts in like the Gen Z age, and a lot of that is due to social media. So social media is certainly reaching people and doing things that, you know, back in the day when you had to go knocking door to door or standing on the street corner, you just couldn't have reached as many people. Now we can reach thousands to millions of people.
That's
you
exciting.
Know, which is amazing. And so definitely know that it's being used for so much good, but it can be addicting and it can take away from real life community, which, you know, can't be replaced with an online one. So.
Right. Yeah. And it's interesting that you talked about your mood, because I do think it has a suppressing effect on mood. Even when, you could probably watch, scroll through your Instagram just looking at, videos of dolphins. You're still going to feel worse.
After.
And you see a dolphin in nature and you're immediately happier. But you see that same dolphin 48 times in a row on Instagram and your mood is depressed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an issue. I mean, I've even had actually some of my students talk about how, you know, they've had like phone addictions and social media addictions, but they were able to kind of curb that and put limits, and their parents helped them. And so that was refreshing to actually hear that, you know, the even people younger than me who, I mean, they probably could have started off at age 6 with a cell phone, potentially, you know, super young. And so obviously they're more prone to getting addicted when they start from such a young age. But yeah, I'm so happy to hear that there's kind of more awareness about it.
Yeah.
And they're implementing things to kind of curb that. So
Emily Torres is our guest. We have the delightful opportunity to talk with her this hour about her TikTok content at Catholic Converts. If you're on TikTok, check out Catholic Converts. Or if you've got a young person who needs an introduction to the faith, you might say, hey, check out Catholic Converts. She's also a philosophy teacher at Charlotte Catholic. And we'll talk about it when we come back. How does a young person not raised Catholic end up at 22 years old with 84,000 followers and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people learning the truth about the Catholic faith on her TikTok. We'll do that. Is that all right, Emily? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Awesome.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Are you looking to study Catholic theology in a formal way with the guidance of faithful scholars? Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by the Augustine Institute, offering master's degrees in theology, pastoral theology, and Catholic education with flexible study options on campus, online, or both. The Augustine Institute equips students to serve Christ and His church in schools, parishes, dioceses, apostolates, and the home. Learn more today at augustine.edu.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
Human beings are God's greatest masterpiece. Every person is made in the image and likeness of God. But every saint, that is, every person who accepts God's invitation, His upward call to make them holy. And so every story presents us with a unique masterpiece that God is writing.
The Journey Home, tonight, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and delighted to be here with you and with our guest, Emily Torres, this hour. She's the founder and proprietor of Catholic Converts on TikTok and various other social media, but TikTok is her primary place. And we love talking with Emily and with other younger folks who are doing this because this is a graced moment. Something very special is happening. As far as the Catholic message reaching people, I sometimes think about there was a time when Fulton Sheen was the most popular voice on television. More people were watching his show in a week than anybody else's show. But he needed a major network, two major networks, as a matter of fact, to take a chance on him in order to do that. And it lasted a few years. And it's all wonderful and everything. But now we're in an age where people like our guest, Emily Torres, they decide, I need to do this. I need to, you know, I suppose maybe for you, Emily, it comes from you have a conversion to the Catholic faith, and then you hear people saying things that are not true about the Catholic faith. And it seems like you have a little bit of a motivation to say, well, that's not true. I can straighten that out.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yes. So, originally I got on TikTok kind of not seriously, if I'm being honest. I like 4 years ago when I got onto it, it was kind of notorious for just being an app where like people did like, you know, stupid dances to music or something. Like it wasn't what it is now. But yeah, so I kind of got on it as a joke because summer break, I was bored. I was like, I need something to do. So you know what, let's see if there's anything here. So I just like made some videos where I talked about kind of my conversion and, you know, maybe mention some things about Protestantism and got like comments immediately with people, you know, trying to argue with me. And I was like, oh, wow. Wonderful. Yeah. And I was like, wow, okay. Like there's people that are interested, you know, in having a conversation, which I didn't, you know, kind of expect fully. So started responding to them and then started getting more and more views because I just started posting more and making more responses to these comments. And I think people really liked that I was engaging with them. And so that just continued to grow my platform. And yeah, by the grace of God, I'm at, you know, close to 100,000 followers now. So pretty crazy.
Pretty crazy. Yeah. That's God works in mysterious ways. And yeah. the thing that got you was that people responded to you. Like you were like, wow, there's an interest out there. And,
yeah.
and people are willing to have these conversations. And so I imagine that, I mean, it's social media. Not all the conversations are like, Emily, dear Emily, you're a lovely Catholic and I'm a lovely atheist. And I mean, it's rough out there, isn't it?
Oh, it's rough.
Yeah. Yeah. They say mean things.
Yeah, they're very mean.
Do you have a thick skin?
Yeah, I've developed one for sure.
Oh, yeah. You have?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think, I mean, especially like as a woman kind of getting into this field where, you know, I mean, typically the people like invested into apologetics are male, you know.
That's very true. That's a very good point.
So
right.
having like men come at me, you know, it's a little, it's kind of a different vibe because it almost feels, you know, I don't know. It's kind of, it's just a little scary in general when any person is like coming at you, but then especially right. when they're a man, but, and maybe they're like, 3 times my age, because there's some, you know, yeah. older folks on there who don't have any.
3 times your age are still young people,
you know. That's true.
As a person who's three times your age, I just want you to know,
we're
people too.
You know, I thought you were in your 40s, Si. So anyway, what I mean?
Thank you for lying to me, Emily. I appreciate it. Yeah, no, I can understand that totally. I mean, you, and people say things that surprise you. I don't, I'm not good at social media. So but you go, what? You got that out of, I said this, and you got that out of it? And then somebody explained trolling to me where it's like, no, they didn't think that you said that. They're twisting what you said. How do you deal with all that?
Yeah. You know, I think I've like handled it better over the years because at first I would engage those people. And then I started to realize, you know, through trial and error, like, oh, I just can't engage these people. And so at some points, actually, I just had to stop looking at my comments because so many people that would hate, so many people, I mean, oh my gosh. And some responses I've made to people who are, you know, very pro-abortion, pro-eugenics, you know, very ableist, like, it's very scary in the TikTok world, I'll be honest.
Wow.
You see some terrifying things of people just...
Like they want to do away with disabled people?
Yeah. Like they, like I, for example, one mother posted a video of her severely disabled child. So many people in the comments... horrible things, you know, basically, why didn't you get rid of it when, you know, they were before they were born, like calling the mother cruel for keeping her baby, keeping the baby alive, like horrible things. And so when I've like made responses to those videos, calling that out for, you know, the evil that it is, so again, comments are flooded with similar things. And so it's just kind of, in some ways, makes me lose faith in humanity of like, wow, this is this
dark.
Is just wicked.
That's dark. You should have killed your baby.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's horrible. So I have to like stop reading the comments when it comes to things like that. But, you know, nowadays when it's about me or it's about, you know, this girl's annoying or whatever, like, I don't care. You can say what you want. It doesn't bother me, you know.
Oh, good for you. It bothers me still. I've been doing this for years. And when they type this girl's annoying under my videos, I'm like, that's just me. Come on, man. So let's talk a little bit about your conversion. I mean, how long have you been a Catholic?
Just celebrated my 4-year anniversary.
Oh,
so.
Praise God.
Yeah.
So you're really young to have a conversion. I mean, maybe that's not true. I mean, maybe that's common to have conversions at a young age. I don't know. But it's fascinating to me that... you know, you're what, 16, 17 years old when you start getting interested.
Yeah.
That's usually an age, maybe when people are thinking about other things. I don't know.
Oh,
so
yeah.
how did you come to the Catholic faith?
Yeah. So I was not raised very religiously. My parents divorced when I was young. And when my mom remarried, my stepdad and her would take us to this like Baptist non-denominational type church growing up. But it was never like a huge part of our lives. We didn't talk about it outside of the church walls. We didn't pray together, nothing like that. And so like growing up, I would have considered myself a Christian. But, you know, as I got into, you know, teen years, so 12, 13, 14, I really started to, you know, not live my life according to how the Bible calls us to live our lives. And so it wasn't until I was about 13 in middle school where my sister was invited by some friends at school to start attending this like Wednesday youth group nights at the non-denominational church near us. And I was like, okay, fine, I'll go, just as like a social event. Like I didn't really care too much otherwise. And as I started going more and more, I just realized, wow, I'm sort of living my life as a hypocrite. I'm calling myself a Christian, but not living the way I'm supposed to, not living the way that all these other people I'm surrounded by are. And so I felt like internally like torn and just conflicted. And so I was like, you know, what am I going to do? Am I going to commit to this or am I just going to abandon it? Because I can't keep in this weird in-between. So by the grace of God, I decided, okay, I'm going to give it my all. So, I would say like about 14 was when I fully committed myself to the Lord and got super involved in my non-denominational church, was on like the leadership team for the high schoolers and stuff like that. And then COVID hit when I was 17, I think. So I was a junior in high school. All the churches shut down. And so I stopped going to church, but I was still very invested in my faith. Started getting more involved in online communities to kind of find a sense of community while the churches were closed. And that led me to joining this like big group chat with a bunch of other Christians of very different denominations. And, you know, the area that I was raised, if you called yourself a Christian, 99% of the time you went to like a mega church. You know what I mean? Like, you know, coffee shop and worship music. Like, there weren't really Lutherans or Anglicans. Like, I didn't really have any exposure to that.
It's the mega church kind of non-denominational phenomenon.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So once I started encountering like, oh, wow, there's these Baptists and there's these Presbyterians and, oh, my gosh, Orthodox Christians. Like, I didn't even, like, know that there were so many different denominations. And when I started to get to know these people online, I thought to myself, wow, like, they really love Jesus. Like, they're faithful. Why do I assume I'm right and they're wrong? And so that got me to question my own beliefs and started talking to other Christians, started talking to Catholics, trying to ask them questions, figure out, you know, why do they believe what they believe? Also tried to argue with them because I just in my mind was like, they're wrong. You know, Catholics are wrong. I didn't know why they were wrong. I just knew they were wrong.
Right. Do you think, if I may stop you do you think part of that knowing that they were wrong is that the kind of maybe the non-denominational community that brought you to Christ actually brought you to the real Christ? And that's a like that's a big deal. So that's a very strong proof in itself. I sometimes feel like that with people who are brought into the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. It's the person that you that brought you in or the group that brought you in that you immediately give credibility to because they gave you the greatest gift. And they really gave it to you. Lots of people find Christ and come to Christ in a Protestant community.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why I just never questioned it because you know, I feel the Holy Spirit here. I really see in my life that God has worked through me and changed me. So why would this all be a lie, you know, if God is here? So that's why I just never thought to, you know, second guess it. And then, of course, you know, found some ways to rationalize it when I would occasionally encounter questions of like why I wasn't Catholic or this or that. And I just was like, you know, because I just follow the Bible. I'm not going to follow man-made traditions.
Yeah.
You know, so that's...
We've never heard that argument here
before,
Emma.
Right? That's groundbreaking.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So you had an understanding of Christianity that was Bible, kind of a Bible alone understanding.
Yeah.
And you didn't feel a felt need for the Catholic faith. You didn't have a felt need for the sacraments or for the liturgy or any of that.
Sort of.
Really?
You know, I was never baptized as a non-denominational. And that really weighed at my heart because, you know, reading the scriptures, I knew baptism was very important. But my church taught that baptism was just this, you know, symbolic gesture of like, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm born again. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, why do I need to get dunked in water in front of everybody to show that I'm a Christian? Like, everybody already knows that, you know, but I knew baptism was heavily emphasized in the New Testament. And so I was going back and forth. And another, I mean, thing that was causing this conflict inside was I wanted to invite my parents if I was baptized, but I also didn't want to invite them because at this point they weren't super like welcoming or open to the fact that I was Christian and really invested in my faith. So I didn't want to get baptized behind their back, but I also didn't want to have to tell them I was getting baptized and then invite them because I felt that would have just dampened the experience.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
you're in a tough spot.
Exactly.
Okay. So, but you did something and you felt that call to baptism because of your own reading of the New Testament.
Yes. And something also just felt weird about the way that the non-denominational church I was attending was structured. Like when I would read the Old Testament and see, wow, they have such an order and a structure and God wanted to be worshiped in such a specific way. Like they had sacrifices, they had, you know, priestly vestments. And I walk into this church and we have coffee and we have worship music and stage lights. And we have a pastor on stage giving a talk for an hour. Like, where is that in the Bible? And why does God want to be worshipped so differently now? That definitely tugged at my heart, but didn't question it too much.
All right. Well, you can hear the music, so we have to take a quick break. And I'm really enjoying talking with you, Emily. Emily Torres is our guest. Catholic Converts is where you can find her on various social media, but particularly on TikTok, where she's got coming up on 100,000 subscribers and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people have seen her material. How did she become a Catholic? We'll find out right after this on Catholic Answers Live. Have you ever wondered about the mysterious, even obscure aspects of the Catholic faith? Dive into the Jimmy Akin podcast, where Jimmy brings together information from many fields as he pushes the boundaries of apologetics. Tune in today to the Jimmy Akin podcast, Mysteries of the Faith, a highly entertaining, informative, and at times humorous show that will help you grow in your faith. Visit JimmyAkinPodcast.com today to subscribe.
Lots of people have big questions about Catholicism. It needs a big book of answers, and now it's got one. The Big Book of Catholic Answers is filled with helpful replies to more than 250 questions about the faith. Questions about God, salvation history, the Creed, the Bible, the list goes on and on. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What was the church like in its infancy? In a word, Catholic. And Joe Heschmeyer has the receipts. In his best-selling book, The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, he gives you the details from the historical records of the first two centuries of Christianity. Right now, get a copy for just $10, plus free shipping if you live in the continental United States. Get more information and order The Early Church Was the Catholic Church at theearlychurchwascatholic.com.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Emily Torres, our guest this hour, and wonderful to have an opportunity to do a full hour interview with somebody who's on the cutting edge of the apologetics movement, of evangelizing, and is doing so as is really getting very common. And I feel so excited about this. I really think we're seeing the fruits of a long, slow construction of a Catholic kind of media presence, something that we lacked 50 years ago and have been building for 50 years. But now it's these young people who really know how to communicate. They know their faith and they're online. helping other people to see through lies and to overcome deception and to also just to love and embrace the truth. It's a beautiful thing. During the break, I was explaining what a total social media failure I was to to Emily at when I tried it in the past. And God has a different call for each person.
Amen.
Mine apparently is not to social media, Emily. And I would prefer you not repeat my tales of failure. But it does, that's I think why I am so impressed with you and with your peers about how you mastered this and are using it to reach large audiences. And now you title your work Catholic Converts, and so we were talking a little bit before about how you became a Catholic convert. And thus far, it's almost entirely been the work of non-denominational Christians who shared Jesus Christ with you, who taught you the Bible and all that. So how did you come into the Catholic Church?
Yes. So once I got more invested in these online communities, was exposed to different denominations, that got me to really research into, okay, why do I believe what I believe? I started kind of looking into the history of the Protestant Reformation and Martin Luther and started reading some of the early Christian writings from like the Apostolic Fathers to kind of understand.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I was like, I kind of had a midlife crisis at 17.
At 17.
I had a midlife crisis because
Well, you're
was...
only going to live to be 34 then. I'm sorry to inform
gosh.
You.
Okay.
I could do arithmetic.
Yeah. So. Who knows? Once I realized, wow, I could be wrong about this, and this is the most important thing in my life. And it was also in the midst of college applications when I was applying to all Protestant schools because I was like, I'd grown up in public school, wanted to go to a school where I could find like-minded people. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, if this is all a lie, or, you know, at the time I was thinking that,
sure,
but,
yeah.
You know, if it's not fully true, then, you know, like, what am I doing? So I was kind of frantic. And so that led me to, I was also in Zoom school at this point. So, you know, as much
right.
as that was like school.
How bad was that Zoom school?
You know, it wasn't bad.
It wasn't?
But, well, I don't know. I liked it because I was able to like work while I was like working while I was in school. I was like a full-time nanny while I was like doing my high school work on Zoom. It was really, it was
you're one
quite
of those
a time.
People.
It was quite a time.
I don't mean that in a mean way, but you're
no.
one of those people. All right. So,
yeah.
So you're like 17 and you're like, I got to read Polycarp of Smyrna. I got to
yeah.
read, Ignatius of Antioch.
Yeah.
Like really?
Yes, really. Yeah. I was,
they'll make you Catholic.
Oh yeah. They did make me Catholic. That was the beautiful thing. Because I just realized very quickly, okay, early Christians did not believe baptism was just this symbolic thing. And that actually was so like freeing to
really?
To realize, because I honestly didn't know that Catholics believed all this stuff about baptism, about the Eucharist. Like I just had no idea the Catholic Church had all of these beliefs about the sacraments. So to hear that there was a different perspective on baptism, that it actually does something that conveys grace, I, you know, was like, that makes so much sense in context of the Bible, but also like all the early Christians believed it. Even Protestant historians will say it is unanimous that all early Christians believed this about baptism.
Right.
So I just was like, okay, you know, I'm not going to listen to my pastor who lives 2,000 years post Jesus and ignore, you know, the people that were taught by the apostles.
Which I want to say, just in case people don't know this, you can read the writings of the people who were taught by the Apostle John. You
yep.
can read, that's who we were talking about, Polycarp and Ignatius. You can read the people who were taught by Peter and Paul in Clement of Rome. He was a student of Peter and Paul in Rome. So it's not like it's not available. It's not all shrouded in dark mystery. Just read the people who knew the apostles. And you did
yep.
at 17 years old.
Yep. Yep. And so it was pretty fast, honestly, that I realized, oh, wow, okay, non-denominationalism is not true. It is not from Christ. Because it just had departed so significantly from the beliefs of the early Christians. So I knew that it couldn't be true. And so now I'm at this point where like, okay, well then what is true and what am I going to turn to now? And so after more research, understanding more what the early Christians believed about the church structure and church authority and sacred tradition and understanding kind of the flaws in sola scriptura and things that, you know, didn't sit right with the Protestant Reformation for me, it just became very apparent pretty quickly that the Catholic Church was true. And I didn't want it to be true. I remember praying to God. I'm like, God, please don't let it be true, because I didn't want to have to go through this lengthy conversion.
He would have to recreate the whole universe in order for your,
prayer,
for your prayer to be answered.
Oh, yeah.
As you want it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then what do? You go RCIA, OCIA, something like that?
Yeah. So I contacted a parish near me about RCIA. And it was over Zoom, so that was funny. That was a funny experience.
You did RCIA over Zoom?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, but, you know, a lot of the things that they covered, to be honest, I had already covered it myself because I just was so, you know, immersed in trying to figure all of this stuff out. So a lot of it, you know, it was funny being there because there was a lot of people actually in our group. Yeah, it was a different experience for sure from what I've heard about, you know, ones where they're actually in person.
Right. So, but now I'm worried about you in your story because you were considering a non-denominational baptism that you thought was just a symbol and you didn't want to invite your parents to that.
Yeah.
Now you're thinking about coming into the Catholic Church, which means you're going to receive three sacraments from, you know, there's going to be incense burning. There's going to be like that.
Yeah.
It's a big deal, the Easter Vigil. So what happened?
Yeah. So thanks be to God. My parents had been more open to, you know, religion at this point and kind of my journey. And so, they all attended my baptism and my initiation into the church.
By they all, you mean your brother?
So,
and sisters,
yes,
and
my
your parents.
So my some of my siblings attended, not all of them, but then my parents all attended as well. So yeah, that was wonderful.
And we should say you have a twin sister.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
And it's funny because you were telling me before we went on the air, you guys are kind of opposites.
Yes.
In a way.
We actually we went viral on TikTok, like millions and millions of people saw a video that my sister posted, not actually me.
Okay.
But she doesn't, like, she's not a content creator, but she just posted this video because it was trending where there was actually these two twins, this pair of twin sisters who one of them is a nun and the other one is, like, not very religious, kind of like a fitness trainer. And so they, like, posted a video of how different they were. And so I think my sister saw that and was kind of inspired. So she posted a video of, like, how we're polar opposites. Like, I'm very, you know, much more conservative than she is and very religious. She's not religious, much more liberal, just much more. She has, like, a lot of just, like, energy, super extroverted. I mean, I'm very introverted, even though I can be, you know, extroverted when I'm talking to people about stuff I love. So anyway, so that went viral. And we actually were contacted by a few, like, news people to, like, maybe write an article or interview us because they just were so fascinated with the fact that we were, you know, polar opposite.
It is fascinating.
Yeah.
It is fascinating. And I think it's fascinating to a religious philosophical perspective of there's the action of grace, and we don't know how. It's not like you were genetically programmed to be religious in the way you are because you have the same genes.
Yes.
As your sister.
Exactly. And the same upbringing.
Yeah, right. So,
you know, that I don't know if I want to get into this, but I think the path that we've both kind of, you know, taken in our lives, I definitely think it's the fruit of this sort of American evangelical, non-denominational kind of religion, which is like, you know, my church taught us that evolution is fake, and they were very, like, not super anti-science, but definitely, you know, that's kind of their perspective. Obviously, there was no sort of philosophical tradition kind of backing their beliefs. And so I think, you know, it's understandable why my sister, because she also had her own experience of grappling at the same time that I was, of grappling with, like, what's true, you know, which religion is true, and how do I know it? And, you know, is this Bible stuff and is this Christianity stuff actually true, or is it just, you know, kind of a made up fairy tale? And I definitely see how, given, you know, our experience with the church that we were at, would make people realize, oh, you know, maybe this actually doesn't have a lot of evidence or support with it, because that's kind of the mindset it fostered at times.
Yeah.
That's
a very interesting take. And it is problematic when you make people choose between what science clearly has uncovered.
Yeah.
And faith. Then that's an unfair choice. That's not a choice God yeah. ever intended people to have to make.
You know, exactly.
You can believe all the evidence,
yeah,
or you can come with me. That's not the choice Jesus gives us. His thing is test all the evidence, see what's real.
Yeah,
and you'll see, because he's not afraid of it. He made it. He created it.
He is the truth.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Right. That's a fascinating take.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry, but I got to take another break. I really am enjoying talking with you, Emily. I think it's I've just said it again and again, but I'll keep saying it. I think we're at a magnificent moment that we have people like you, and. At doing this. And so I hope people will check out Catholic Converts on TikTok. And I'm going to be looking for the video of you and your sister now. Also, I want to know about that nun and the personal trainer,
too.
Yeah,
I got to
check all of that out, but not during the break. I'll do it after the show. But Emily Torres, our guest, a content creator and teacher of the Catholic faith. More with her right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 2010. EWTN provides live coverage of Pope Benedict XVI's historic visit to England and Scotland, including the beatification of Cardinal John Henry Newman. This was the first state visit of a pope to Britain.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Sorry about that. I got my chair caught in the rug. That's what that was.
Oh God, that's
poor Emily's like, what's going on here in the studio? I was trying to move my chair and I got caught in the rug. Emily Torres is our guest. Catholic Converts is, I don't know, you can see that I talk around this. I don't know if that's your channel, your
my
website.
User. Username.
That's your username.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I danced around it for most of the hour. Finally had to just ask the question. All right. Emily Torres, her username is Catholic Converts over at on the Twitter. And TikTok. And when TikTok got banned there for a minute, were you part of you relieved?
Yes.
Was it really?
Yeah.
You were like, I'm out of this deal.
Yeah. Because I mean, it's funny. Definitely been like apologetics has been something that I'm super invested in, but it also, I mean, it takes it out of you, you know, dealing with people that can be cruel or, you know, it's a lot of, you have to put a lot into it. And so part of me was like, all right, God, I guess this is your plan. And then it like, not even 24 hours later, it's back up. I'm like, all right, I guess this is.
Yeah. It's like Joan of Arc. If they're like, oh, we don't have any matches. Well, Joan's like, well, I was willing to go through with it, but. And then 24 hours, hey, we found a lighter.
Oh, my gosh.
So then you're back into it. So
yes.
So that's interesting, though, that this it's not just like, oh, I'm famous and I love it. This is hard. This is hard work doing this.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's hard. And I mean, every time, it's kind of funny. Every time I've kind of taken it to prayer or thought, you know, maybe it's time to just kind of let it go. Because, you know, working full-time teacher, that takes a lot out of me as it is. And so coming home and then trying to film something or go live, very hard to just, you know, find the energy and time to do that. But every time I'm like, well, you know, maybe I should just let it go and stop posting, I get somebody that messages me and is like, I just wanted to let you know that since watching your videos, I joined RCIA and it's like, literally, it's always perfect timing. And I'm like, okay, this is the Lord, I think, really trying to tell me I'm, you know, helping, you know, people in their journeys of faith. And I can't just let this go, you know. So the Lord's keeping me in, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah. Well, but it's okay to have mixed feelings about things too. I think that's part of being a mature person. Is like, yes, Lord, I'll do this, but that 24 hours when there was no TikTok was kind of glorious. But tell me about going live. I don't know about that. So how does one do that? What happens when you go live on TikTok?
Great.
I mean, TikTok. Yeah.
Yes. So basically it's just a live stream. So it's like a video. So I have it on my face and I get like live comments rolling in and live viewers. So people will comment questions. A lot of the time it's not questions, it's mean comments or whatever, or saying that, you know, Catholicism is a lie, or, you know, stay with Jesus, don't become Catholic. But then you can also get people to request you so they can like come up, kind of like what you guys do on the on the show. You know what I mean? Like you let callers, you know, come in and ask questions. That's sort of what it is, except it's also video if they have their video on. So
you can actually... On this technology, you can, the both of you are on video.
Yes.
So it's really a conversation.
Yes, I can add people, viewers in who want to ask me questions, and I can have a conversation with them.
And do they challenge you sometimes? I mean, are
they? Oh, yeah. That's why they come in there most of the time.
Oh, it's not like, Emily, I just don't understand this. It's more like, you're wrong about this.
Sometimes it is that, and I appreciate those times. But a lot of the time, I would say it's people who are like, you're wrong. Well, they start off kind of hostile. And then once I start talking and asking them questions, then they really cool it. Cause I think they start to realize, oh, like I actually don't know how to answer that question. And all of these people are watching me right now. And you know what I mean? So
I do think a mistake that people make is they can dismiss Catholicism and the Catholic faith and Christianity in general because it's stupid. Because the problem with that is it's not stupid. It's like, if you think you're smarter than the saints were, if you think you're smarter than the philosophers and theologians, you're not. You could say it's wrong, but you're in a world of hurt if your theory of the Catholic faith is it's stupid.
Oh, yeah. And that's part of why... you know, I post what I post is I'm trying to and like go on live because I'm trying to get people to understand, look, religion is not just this dead subject that only dumb people fall into. Because, I mean, a lot of the backlash or, you know, responses I get from atheists or agnostics is like, religion is just your crutch. You can't deal with the real world. You can't deal with reality. So you have to rely on this fairy tale, on this, you know, empty hope to make your life better or happier. And it's like, okay, no, like why would I believe in a religion that teaches me I need to die to myself daily, love my enemies, pray for those that hate me, if I just want an easy way out.
And master my passions and become a person of love rather than a person of pleasures and of self-seeking and all that. Like, where's the crutch in that? Which part of that is a crutch?
Yeah. I mean, for them, it's like the view of heaven. Like, oh, you have some hope that when you die, you'll, you know, stay alive. But it's like, okay, but I also have the fear of hell weighing on me too. So, you know.
Do you really? Because you're on TikTok? Is that why?
I am tested frequently by many people in my lives.
Yeah. Well, right. So in other words, I imagine what happens then is sometimes a person thinks they have the clever take and then they actually have to confront your questions and answers and they go, oh, it's not quite as clever as I thought it was.
Yeah.
Now that's not convicting. That doesn't turn someone into a Christian, but at least it removes the illusion that they have that they're dealing with a dope
Yeah.
or a dupe.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what TikTok is, it's super silly. It's just people that are watching for debate. And so they'll like comment W host if you're the person hosting the live stream, or they'll comment L host like you lost. And so they're like W like you won or L you lost.
Yeah.
And so they'll spam that in the chat. So after like I bring somebody up, they'll be like, host totally lost. She doesn't know what she's talking about. Like just flooding the comments. So I just like don't look at those because I'm like, whatever, I don't care. But they're just looking for an easy like punch or win. You know what I mean? And so it's hard.
Yeah, they'll say Jesus on the cross would get Messiah totally lost.
Exactly.
Like that, we're not scared of losing.
Yeah.
Like the point is God wins.
Exactly. And truth comes out, you know? So yeah. My goal is to just show some of these people like, look, these silly, you know, atheists or Protestants coming in and are super argumentative and super hot-headed, like, they actually don't know what they're talking about. And so, like, you shouldn't listen to them because their arguments, their points aren't, you know, very sound upon, you know, some probing. So
Right. That's
sort of what I'm trying to get at is, like, I'm very big on the Socratic method, you know, just asking questions, getting people to kind of see that their own beliefs don't really make that much sense.
Yeah, yeah. Have you failed like where you felt you failed? Have you had times where you went, I did not handle that well, or man, if I could get that back, I would not have said that, or I would have said this.
For sure. I think some of my biggest mistakes are that I just prolonged the conversation too much. Like there was clearly somebody who wasn't being respectful, wasn't willing to like listen.
That's how
a lot of people, especially, oh my gosh, if I ever debate abortion, like you can put little, like a green screen in the back of you. So that's what I'll do. I'll typically have some sort of phrase in the background, like the Catholic Church is the only true church, or I'm Catholic, ask me questions, or abortion is murder or something like that. And if I'm ever debating abortion, that's when it gets really ugly. Like people talking over you, not letting you speak, just being very nasty, ad hominems, just like not staying on topic at all. And my biggest mistakes have been not refocusing the conversation and also not just cutting the conversation off when it clearly wasn't going anywhere. And it's the fear of like your view. Like anytime I do that though, if I cut the conversation because I'm like, this is just not productive, you know, people in the comments are like, oh, you couldn't handle it, you knew you were losing, so you had to stop the conversation. And so like part of me is like, well, I don't want to end it because I don't want them to think that I'm just taking the easy way out, but also this clearly isn't going anywhere. And if I could have somebody come in who I could actually speak truth to them and like they're willing to hear it,
right,
then why would I not prioritize those people instead?
Right.
You know?
Right. And that's the problem with, I think the whole comment section on social media is there is this, kind of like instantaneous judgment that that people make.
Yeah.
And if you pay attention to that instantaneous judgment, you won't ever do anything. You won't see it. It'd be like, 11 people put an L next to me. You know, like, I got defeated. why do you have resilience with it, though? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I here at Catholic Answers, I have a whole community of people around me all the time. When we mess up, there's people to go, you know, to pick you up, to go, it's not as bad as you thought, or it is as bad as you thought, but you'll do it. You know, so there's a kind of communal resilience in it.
Yeah.
Where do you get it? Where do you get that resilience?
Yeah. I have friends that actually I like met through TikTok, and so they become like very good friends. Like one of them, I was in her bridal party. They like if I go live, which I don't go live as often as I used to. Like I used to go live every single day, you know, but now I can't do that as often. But if I go live, I'll like send the link to them and be like, hey, I'm going live, like watch it. So then afterward, if I feel like, oh, wow, like I feel like I messed up here, or I wish I would have done this, you know, they can be reassuring and be like, no, like you, I thought you responded well, or, you know, they could say it's okay. Like we all kind of, you know, they were grilling you for 20 minutes. It's okay. You know, so I have that support, but also just prayer, honestly, having the Lord to support me, because like I told you earlier, there's been so many clear signs to me that like, this is what the Lord wants me to be doing. Even at times when I resist it and I'm like, Lord, choose somebody else, you know, like not me, like Moses, you know, so anybody else but me, you know, that can be, a feeling that I have, but knowing that the Lord has made it clear this is where he's called me. That's my strength. That's my kind of reassurance.
Good for you. Good for you. So tell me about what are some of the most maybe common objections you have? Because essentially what you're doing is inviting people to consider the Catholic faith.
Yeah.
So what are the objections to that consideration?
Well, from...
I'm sorry. I'm asking you with 15 seconds left.
Oh, my gosh.
Give me one.
Okay. A lot of people say, how do you know, like with the history of the Catholic Church and all the evil that it's done, how could you be okay with it? I mean, clearly, again, it's just misunderstanding, misinformation from their part on, you know, the church itself. So.
And then there's the music. Emily, Emily Torres has been our guest.
That's okay.
I was having so much fun talking with you. I didn't even look at the clock. I looked back and Edgar looks like he's going to throw up like when I ask you a question. So, Edgar, you okay? You're going to be all right? Okay, he's all right. Emily Torres, Catholic Converts on TikTok. Or if you're a high school age person, you can just go to Charlotte Catholic High School and have her as your philosophy teacher. You're going to come and work with us in July.
Yes.
We're looking forward to you coming, Emily.
Me as well.
Thank you. God bless you and your work. It's beautiful.
Thank you, Si. You as well.
And that'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.